God. Hallelujah. Well, praise the Lord. I said in opening today, I got a change on the message, but it is still dealing with error. We've been teaching and ministering on manifestations of God. It's one of the things is talk about manifestations, but there's things that we can do that will cause God to manifest or keep Him from manifesting. And we need to understand that is hooking up, following in line with what the Word says. The Word of God gives us a lot of examples of things that we can do. What happened yesterday and that stuff, one of the things is I was thinking about the fact, because I found out that Calvin Scott with Faith Ministries, who we, you know, help support, Calvin was diagnosed with cancer, and they said it was pretty much all different places in his body and that stuff. And one of the things that the doctors sent him on, they came to the point that they, doctors can't really, they've done this all they can do. But it's one thing that just really blessed me because of Calvin, you know. I've known Calvin for numbers of years now, and Calvin is definitely a man of faith. I mean, he is walks by faith, and is one of the things that you would hear from what he says, you wouldn't think at all, because you know most people when they run into a serious problem, everybody knows it, and he's like on the top of things. In fact, I really thought it was funny because I printed out their new newsletter. Now he has had this diagnosis long time before this newsletter, but he puts a newsletter out. When he puts it out, he says, it's don't be a mule-faced Christian. And so, but I mean, it's like, they're believing God moving in a direction. And it's just, to me, it's just hugely encouraging to me. It's one of the things that it blessed me that he said it really blessed him concerning the doctor that he had been dealing with. The doctor said he wanted to get Calvin, into hospice care at home. He said, because you want to get, he said, we need to do something to manage your pain. You have pain and we want to manage that. And he said, now you need to understand this. He said, I'm not sending you home to die. I'm sending you home to live out your days. And I thought about that, and I know Calvin did too. You know, Calvin realized that he has to determine his days. He does. He determines. So really, the doctor was telling him, you go home to live out your days. What are you going to choose? See, most people, they make the choice and say, God did it. God didn't make a choice. Man makes a choice. And see, we need to get over and start to getting in to the areas of right thinking. Well, anyhow, I was sitting there meditating. I was just thinking about that. And it was just encouraged me with Calvin. And I've known Calvin for years. You know, the devil's doing a lot of things right now, and people and stuff going on. And there's things I've been really concerned. I've been praying a lot about the need of a move of the Spirit, because Christianity, even a lot of it at its so-called best today, has slid back. It's on a lower level. People are walking around with knowledge of things, but not living according to that knowledge. Where, in fact, very much today, the church world, I'm talking spirit-filled church world, is very much where the Jews were with healing on the areas. See, they didn't believe in healing on the Sabbath. They believed in his work, because, see, all healing was given to the doctors. And see, that's man's works. So that's why you don't do any man's works on the Sabbath. And the church world, even spirit-filled church world, has mostly dedicated healing to the doctors. Whether we realize it or not, there was a lot higher level walked at years ago than there is today. A lot higher level. But you know what? You can't attain back to that level if you don't know that you're not walking at it. You'll never go for it. You'll be satisfied where you're at. You can be satisfied. Well, things are pretty good. But what's happened? A lot of pressures come on in life, and now people ain't satisfied where it's at. But they haven't tried to maintain or to go back. Now, in the middle of trouble, they're trying to get back there. It's harder to get back. See, that's why you got to stay on top of things. And I saw that. I said, Lord, we need to move the Spirit. Things got to begin to change. Stuff is happening. The devil's attacking people left and right. Things are going on. I mean, the church has done terrible through the COVID thing. It is, and we don't stop and say, hey, hold that. What is going on? See, the world needs to see God. They need to see God in manifestation. And now, they need to see more than just us. And, you know, we're nice people and we're good people. That's nice. But I'm going to tell you, we need some bigger answers than that. people are going through things and people are going, just like with Calvin, you know, the devil has come to steal, kill, and destroy. And we got to come to a place we can't allow this to happen. It's not enough of the battle he fights because it's number one, he's in the body of Christ. And you know, Calvin's always been a good soldier and we need good soldiers. We can't afford losing good soldiers. Who are you going to replace them with? Hey, it's what we're dealing with. Who do you replace people with today? See, we're seeing in the spirit realm has already happened and now it's manifesting in the physical realm and people can't figure out how it happened. It's because the church quit. And what we see happened in the church is now manifest in the world. It's manifest over here. And we need to change things over here to bring things back to where they are. Hallelujah. So, glory to God, we have the victory. Now the Lord, in dealing with yesterday, the Lord spoke to me about, told me something, and then showed me a common story in the Bible, which we'll be going to there then, Joshua the 6th chapter. We're going to be looking at Jericho. And the Lord spoke to me, so two things specifically about that he wanted me to talk about. But going into it is this. You know, we were talking last week and we were talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, about speaking in tongues and praying, spending time praying in tongues. And the Lord wants me to talk about the Spirit-filled life today. Because that's been left. The Spirit-filled life has been left. And I don't want you to get a hold of this, because when God brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, we look at the children of Israel and things that they went through. The Bible says the things that happened to them were written for our admonition. In other words, they're for our learning. That's what some of them translated, our learning, and that's probably a better translation. It's for our learning. The things that happened to them. Well, we look at what happened to them was for our learning. In other words, there's types and shadows of those things that fit over into us today and the realm of the Spirit. There's many physical things that happened to them were types of spiritual things that we deal with. They dealt with all physical enemies. We deal with spiritual enemies. We deal with things in the Spirit. A lot today, the church is fighting, trying to fight physical wars with people and fighting that, you know, that just, you know, that's not what we do. And you can forget those battles because they're just, that's unwinnable junk. I mean, that's just, we're fighting those kind of battles. What we need to deal with is things in the area of the Spirit. Now, when the children of Israel came out of Egypt, God brought them out. He brought them out with great power, but he took them down the Red Sea, and the scripture teaches us this, that the Red Sea, when they came through that, that was a type of the baptism, really, of baptized into Christ, of being born again. That was, that what was a representation of water baptism was of being baptized into Christ. Now, water baptism don't get you into Jesus. You get into Jesus through that. Well, there's something else that happened before the children of Israel. When they went into the land of Canaan, when they finally came to the place, the land of Canaan, before they got to Jericho, they came through the Jordan River. And the Jordan River was a representation of a type of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. See, the land of Canaan is not heaven. It's not how they used, now when I was a kid in church, they used to sing songs about going to Canaan's land. No, you go to Canaan's land when you get baptized the Holy Ghost. See, we're dealing with a problem today. Many Christians have come in to born again. They came through and they have the water baptism. In other words, they came through the Red Sea. They got born again. They got into Christ. But they can't go into Canaan's land. You know what? Canaan's land, the only way you can sustain in that land, and that's a representation of the land of the Spirit, is to be Spirit-filled. See, there's battles in that land. See, if anything right now the devil is trying to deal with and come against is the Spirit-filled Christian. See, the Lord told me this years ago. He said to me, this last day move of God cannot be brought in by the Christians who aren't baptized in the Holy Ghost. He said, they can't pray in. He said, you pray in tongues because you can pray my mysteries and things. He said, it requires heavenly things to bring this thing to pass. And he said, man can't bring it by his knowledge. And praying just by his knowledge, he can't do that. He said, you can't bring it in just doing that. So see, there's a need. See, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, God was moving, Moses and brought Moses and them up to the place, and then Joshua was put in charge and Moses died. God prepared them to go across, and they went across just as, you know, Moses put out his rod over the Red Sea, and he spoke over it, and overnight a wind blew. And that wind blew, it said, from the east. And all overnight, and it opened the Red Sea. There's a total difference between the baptism of the Holy Ghost. We have a totally different image. See, the children of Israel were given the Ark of the Covenant where the presence of God rested on that Ark. And when that water was opened there by the power of God, they walked down in when the priest walked down and the first priest stepped his foot in the water. The Jordan River opened up. It was at flood stage. God took them there at flood stage. He didn't take them in there when it was nice and they wade through this thing. He took them down there when you couldn't wade through. See, you need to learn this about, if you're going to live the Spirit-filled life, get over yourself. Get over yourself in hard times. Get over yourself in these areas. The baptism of Spirit is about facing the giants. It's about going into the land of the giants. That's what this thing's about. It's about facing obstacles. You have no need of the baptism of the Holy Ghost if you ain't going to face any obstacles. You don't have no need of it. The whole purpose of the baptism of the Holy Spirit is the power of God on you to defeat the enemy. That's what it's about. The defeating of the enemy. They went down there, the power of God was on there, and at flood stage, it opened up immediately. They didn't wait overnight. They're baptized with the Holy Ghost. They're going into the land of Canaan to take what belonged God had given them. See, we have it the same way. We have God, you know, God has blessed the church and given us all kind of wonderful promises in the Word. And those promises are for us to be able to take. And you're going to have, they don't fall on you like ripe cherries off a tree if you haven't noticed. You got to take them. And this is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's about the power of God to take the land. That's what it's about. It's to take the promises of the land. That's what it's about. It's about going into the land. The devil's living in the land. The devil says you can't have what God gave you. And people say, well, I guess, you know, just this is the way life just is. It's just, here it is. You know, sometimes things are good and sometimes they're bad and they're mostly bad. It's about taking the land. And so, we need to get this picture, because see, one of the things that the church has also done was this. Jesus' baptism by John was not for salvation. It was the baptism of the Holy Ghost. His water baptism, the power of God came on him. Jesus had never had any manifestations of the Spirit through himself up for 30 years, went that day, and the Holy Ghost came on him that day, and miracles started happening. It's the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That's what it was. He became a minister under the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because Christians need the same thing. You need not just the power of God. See, Jesus had never sinned. He never lost fellowship with God. He didn't need saved. But if he's going to minister as a man in this earth, he's going to need God's power, and that's with you too. You don't have the power. Without the baptism of the Holy Ghost, see this, you need, it's about the power. There is no need to have the baptism of the Holy Spirit if you ain't going to walk in power. There is zero need for it. It produces nothing. It's nothing. It don't mean a thing. It's about power. That's what it is. It's about power. Power to overcome the enemy. See, we're called to be victorious. That's what we're called to. We're called to be victors. We're more than conquerors. What do you need to be more than a conqueror for if you ain't going to ever conquer nothing? I mean, think about it. See, we've lost these things. We've left this stuff set in the dust years ago that they talked about. And today, well, I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. I'm not Christian. And, you know, God loves me and I ask for stuff. That's what it's become. My God, we ain't even good Baptists. The Baptists are at least really strong about salvation. My God, we're born again children of God. They'll fight you over it. We'll throw the baptism of the Holy Ghost under the bus so quick. Hallelujah. It's about the power of God. See, we need to come back to this place of the need. Christianity is founded in power. That's what it's founded in, power. Jesus said to the disciples, don't you go any place till you get the dude with power from on high. Don't you go nowhere. Don't you get saved and then just go, yeah, I'm going to go out and take care of it. No, he said, you wait till you get power. See, Jesus had already breathed them on his disciples, the Holy Spirit, before he did. The Bible tells us. He breathed on them and they received the Spirit. Then they went the day of Pentecost. See, that was salvation. They got born again that day. The church didn't start in the day of Pentecost. Jesus, those guys believed that Jesus raised from the dead. My God, they were walking around with him. He said, you don't go till you get the power. He didn't say, don't go till you get saved. Don't go till you get the power. See, the baptism of the Holy Ghost is about power. See, John G. Lake said, before he passed on, he said, I don't understand the baptism of the Holy Ghost today in church. He said, they lay hands on people, they talk in tongues, but he says, people don't get the fire. He said, I only know the Holy Ghost by the fire. See, people don't have fire today. They just talk in tongues, no fire. Hold it. We're supposed to have fire. I decided a long time ago I need fire. See, we need more. We need more. See, you're going to pray and God, basically ask God for the things you think you're all right with. That's what you're going to do. And you don't think you need fire. You never pray and talk about it. Say, God, what's wrong with me? I ain't got fire. What's wrong with me? See, do you pray those kind of things? See, I do. I say, God, what's wrong with me? I want fire. You know, somebody needs a light one on, throw something on me or something burning. Something needs to happen. Say, God, we got to have fire. I need fire. So you can't call me to do things and I don't have fire because we ain't getting it done. Forget it. We just put up with the rest of the dead stuff we got. You know, that's the way it is, folks. But we got to sit down and be honest with ourselves. You know, don't expect it out of the next guy. If you ain't got it, you're as bad or worse than him. You know, be honest with you. I need fire, man. I need to burn. And so the children of Israel came across there. Now, isn't it interesting? The first thing that happened, you need to understand this about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The first thing God did taking the children across Jordan, which is a type of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, He took them to the toughest city in the land. He took them to the toughest place in the land. He didn't take them. See, Jesus got filled with the Holy Ghost. What happened to Him? He was led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness. Scripture says this. He was led in the wilderness 40 days tempted by the devil. I don't know what all his temptation was. We have a part of his temptation. But the Scripture says 40 days tempted by the devil. It's funny they don't preach that. I tell you what, most ministers can't read the Bible. They don't know what words mean. It says 40 days tempted. So I know this. I don't know at all about the temptation, all what he went through. I don't know. But God gives me enough to know that he did all right. That he didn't. I have the same baptism he got. Well, if I don't, well, what's wrong? So hold it. Hold it. Did I get, you know, maybe, you know, there's A, B, C, and D, but I got the F one. I don't know. I got the real weak one. It don't work quite as good, you know, as that. But we need it. Is it the same Holy Spirit? Is the same Spirit on us? Is it? See, we need to get this within ourselves. It is. We're baptized with the Holy Ghost, just as He was baptized with the Holy Ghost. Demonstrations of power began to operate through Him. It should be the norm for Christians. That should be. We got to get our thinking back. See, when I came into the kingdom, I thought those things were supposed to be the norm. And when I first came into the kingdom, things would operate through me. I didn't know. Nobody had told me I wasn't supposed to do it. Now, after people saw it happening, there was a lot of older Christians wanted me to stop it. Because they didn't have it and they don't like it when other people do. You see, demonstrations of the Spirit don't always make everybody happy. Jesus told Kenneth Hagin in a vision, 1950, concerning the move of the Spirit. He said, many of my people won't yield the move of the Spirit and will turn back and not be ready to meet me at my coming. I always thought that there was people who didn't know about the baptism, and now I found out, no, that's totally true. Loads of people who know about the baptism have done left. They're just satisfied. They talk about having the Spirit. Jesus made this statement. He said, you know, they'll come to me and say, look, I've done all this in your name. I've done these miracles and that stuff. Well, he couldn't be talking about the Baptist when he said that. And he's going to say, go away. I never knew you. Well, he couldn't have been talking about people that didn't or don't operate in the power of Spirit. They're going to tell him, I did miracles in your name. They ain't going to be doing that. See, people move away from that. Just because you had something don't mean you have it now. You may have been filled with the Spirit years ago, but that don't mean that you have. You just may be a cracked cistern and you done leaked out. It's a maintaining the Spirit-filled life. It's living it. We got to go there. So they come over. That God leads them, just like with Jesus. It's one of the things I have Kenneth Hagin to take. Kenneth Hagin said we ought to be more honest to people and tell them about it. They get filled with the Spirit. They think they're going to have a great life. He said, you're probably going to get tested a lot. He said, that's what happens. See, I know that. You get tested a lot. If you're going to walk in the things of the Spirit, you're going to be attacked. The devil's going to look for opportunity to you. Why? Because the other people ain't a danger in a lot of way to him. The guy who knows the Spirit, the person who understands the Spirit, is going to be attacked. You know, it's one thing as I knew. See, people get over things. This year, coming this year, just things happening left and right, just going on. And I'm thinking, you know, some people, they get over, well, we're missing it. I'm thinking, man, I must be really getting the devil upset because he's trying everything he can to stop me. He wants to stop me. I look around, there's people out here, Christians, and they're walking around like, and I think, dear Lord, yeah, he ain't bothering them at all. They're already in la-la land. Like, he don't have to do that. See, the attacks are coming, ain't missing it. Attacks, because you're doing the will of God. He's trying to stop the will of God from coming to pass. He doesn't want power. He knows about this. You don't cast out devils with no power. You don't cast out devils just because you're a Christian. If that would, just because you're a Christian, you'd cast out devils, dear Lord. I mean, we'd sure have things better going today. Without power, you can't go against it. And it isn't man's power. It's not our power. It's God's power that works through us. We need Him. Can't work without Him. If His power don't work through me, it's just me. Dear Lord, don't we need better than that? Aren't you tired of you yet? You gotta get the point. See, I've done everything that I know and it ain't worked. So now we're done with me. Now it's God. You're going to have to do something because I can't. I need you working in me. And so we want to go to that place. So the children of Israel come across. They come in and they're stepping into the land. Now God has told them about this land. And this stands true for us in the land of the Spirit today. He said, wherever you tread your foot, that's yours, wherever you put your foot. It's the same way in the Spirit realm today. There's promises given to us of the blessings of God, whether whatever it might be, salvation. If a person steps on salvation, they can have it. Whatever healing, you can have it. Baptism of the Holy Ghost, you can have it. Whatever you step on in the land, whatever promises you put your foot on, it isn't what God puts His foot on. Just like He took them in the land, He told them, wherever you guys put your foot, it's going to be yours. It's going to be yours. You know, the only time that Israel ever held all the land that God had given them was during the reign of Solomon. See, Solomon's reign was a type of the millennial reign of Christ. That's what it was. It was a type of that. It was a millennial reign. Israel holding all that God had given to them in the earth as a nation. It's the only time God gave them the land. If you sit down and read in the scripture, Old Testament, when God first told them all the land, what was all theirs? They never took it all. There's places they didn't go step. God said it belonged to them. He said, I give it to you. Now you're going to find out when they went into we're going to read here in the sixth chapter of Joshua. We're going in there. In the sixth chapter, starting the first verse says, now Jericho was securely shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. Now, understand this thing. We're going to talk about this wall. Now, this wall around this city was an enormous wall. It was a huge wall. In fact, historians say that, you know, they could like ride, I think it was 3 chariots across the top of the wall. That's how thick this wall was, how big this wall was. It was an enormous wall. Now you understand in that time, I mean, Israel didn't get down there and have battering rams and they didn't have they hadn't been advantaged yet. They weren't using that stuff. Those things weren't around. You know, they didn't have those things. They didn't know about Chinese had already had some rockets, but they didn't know about that. They weren't in that place. Israel hadn't gone out that way. They're down here around the Mediterranean. So that's where the known world was at that time. You know, when the Bible talks about the world at that time, that's what it's talking about. It ain't talking about... Do you realize when Jesus came to the earth, the Asians knew nothing about it. The people in United States, the Indians and stuff in South America, they knew nothing about Jesus. They knew nothing about Him being sent. See, people read the Bible today, and I don't know. people don't think about things. My mind goes places. But the known world it was at that time, they didn't have those things. And they come down to this place, and God speaks to Joshua. Understand this. God speaks to Joshua, not all the rest of them. He tells Joshua. So God speaks to Joshua, and it says, verse 2, and the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have given Jericho into your hand, its kings, its mighty men of valor. Now, you know, see, God say, hey, see, God, listen, this is God. This is God wants these people. Now, understand this. We're talking the kingdom of God that you and I in, this place where our spirit-filled land we're in. It requires faith. It requires faith always. Always requires faith to take a hold of things in this land. Why? Because the spirit realm is an unseen realm. It is not, let me say this to you, it is not an unsaid realm, but it is an unseen. See, the word says it, what it is, but we can't see it. It just says it. Now, God speaks to Joshua. Joshua can look across at Jericho. He can see that city. He can see those walls. And God says, I gave you that. The king and all the mighty wars, I gave them to you. They're yours. Now, he's going to have to walk by faith in that. Now, it's going to require faith. See, God does. Is it any different? Jesus, the scripture says, by his stripes you are healed. It didn't say he's going to heal you. Don't say that. It says, by his stripes you were healed. Himself took your infirmities and bore your sickness. Something he's already done. He said he's done. He said, I give you guys this land. Now remember what happened to the crew before when they came to the promised land. Remember 40 years before? They marched up there and they sent people into the land. And they came back and gave an evil report. We're going to talk about that some more. They gave an evil report and they come back. You know what? God couldn't take them in the land. Why? It requires faith to go into the land. They had no faith to go in the land. God told them back then the land was theirs. He said, you guys go in there. He said, I'll send the hornets and drive them out. Wherever you put your foot, that's yours. You go into the land. And they come back. Nah, we can't do it. See, God couldn't take them into the land. He couldn't take them that place. They refused it. See, people do that today. People say, well, you know, they'll turn around. The Bible says, you know, God did this and God did that. This belongs to you. This is yours. And people say, yeah, but so-and-so said. And the doctor said, but you don't know what the banker said down there. And you don't know what this guy said. And they'll tell you all those things. They'll tell you all that stuff that went on, but they don't tell you what God said. Now, we want to look at this because God speaks to him and he tells him, these guys are yours. And he says, you shall march around the city. He didn't ask, you know, that's what I thought this is interesting, because he didn't ask them if they would march around the city. He said, you shall. In other words, you're going to do this. This is what you're going to do. I think we need to get back a little bit more of that Christianity and tell Christians, you better get off of, this is what you do, and you better do it. Because people are lazy. They don't do. We got the talker Christians and not the doer Christians. Hey, the talk and the doing are great together. What an explosive power for God. But just the talking, I'm going to tell you what, all you got is a fuse and there ain't no dynamite on the end of it. You're just going to see a scorch mark on the floor. That's all you're going to see. Ain't going to be nothing else there. Just a scorch mark where the burn was. There ain't no explosion. I'll tell you, doing something can cause an explosion when you're walking by faith. Hallelujah. Well, here we go. He said, you shall march around the city, all you men of war, you shall go all around the city once. This you shall do 6 days. And seven priests shall bear seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. But the seventh day you shall march around the city seven times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. It shall come to pass when they make a loud blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, that all the people shall shout with a great shout. Then the walls of the city will fall down, and the people shall go up, every man straight before himself. Now let me just say this to you. I want you to get this thought in your mind. This is no different than Noah going out and telling the people it's going to rain. They haven't ever seen walls fall like that. They ain't never seen nothing like that. They never experienced anything like that happen. They had no experience. God's telling them he's going to do something that no man has experienced. Noah's sitting around saying, it's going to be a flood, it's going to rain. Had never rained. Man didn't know what rain was. Had no clue. You go preach to them and tell them it's going to rain. There's judgment coming. You don't get right. It's going to be. What God's doing here, God's doing the same thing. God's called. See, we want miracles today, but we want miracles that we can believe that they would work. Oh, yeah. We want miracles that we believe could work. They have to coincide as far as my mind can go. That's not faith. There's no faith in that, as far as you can conceive. I want miracles outside of my pea brain. I want God to move outside of Ed's ability to think. If He has to move within my range, we're in trouble. Ain't one of you smart enough. Ain't one of you got enough wisdom to do or to comprehend the miracles we need in this day and time. See, we got to be able to go outside. God can say things and we just got, you know what? We just sort of got to get over in that stupid part and say, brain, shut up. God wants to do something. Let's let Him do it. He can do it. See, everybody say, oh, we have a big God. Yeah, as big as we'll let Him be, you know. You know, I believe He could work through that doctor, but if we don't have the doctor, I'm done. Well, we got to deal with these things, folks. We tell people things that really we don't believe. We need to come to the place and say, hey, God's the answer to this thing. He's going to make it work. Hide and watch. His word says such and such. He must do that or He's a liar. He's a liar. We got to come to that place. You know, we were childish like that when I first came in the kingdom. There was a bunch of us who were just childish. We were just stupid as a, dumb as a stick. We just believed things and say stuff and things and think God did stuff. It was amazing. But you know, we didn't have all this smarts of figuring all this stuff out. We were just young kids and we had a daddy. We thought He could do anything. And we believed it. Hallelujah. Just a simple faith. We weren't smart at all. But hallelujah. But we had confidence in Him. And then the more education you get, the more you start relying on your ability to think. And faith said, place, I can't see how that would happen, but it don't matter. He can do it. He said it. I can't conceive in my mind how that would ever be done. I can't conceive how this could happen. I can't conceive how that wall's just going to drop. Look at those huge walls. They're just going to drop. You know, I want you to understand. I would say this with great accuracy. 80% of Spirit-filled people, if they were in the group that God called send in the land in the first 12, they'd have come out the same way those guys did. Yeah, it's a good place, but let's look for an easier place to whoop somebody. Let's go over here in a fight I think I could take. Yeah, it's a nice place, but... learn to laugh at yourself. This is the way we are. We gotta step up. Hallelujah. Well, verse 5 said, come to pass, when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, then all the people shall shout with a great shout, then the wall of the city will fall down flat, and the people shall go up, every man straight before him. Then Joshua, the son of Nun, called the priests and said to them, take up the Ark of the Covenant, and let seven priests bear seven trumpets of ram's horns before the Ark of the Lord. And he said to the people, proceed and march around the city, and let him who is armed and advanced before the Ark of the Lord. So it was, when Joshua had spoken to the people, that the seven priests bearing the seven ram's horns before the Lord advanced and blew the trumpets, and the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord followed them. It says, the armed men went before the priests who blew the trumpets, and the rear guard came after the Ark while the priests continued blowing the trumpet. Now let's look at this scene. Here's the scene. They go out there. The army is in front. There's an army in front. We find out there's a rear guard also later on talks about. But there's the army's in front. They got... The priests are in front of the Ark blowing ram's horns. They got the Ark of the Covenant, and they're walking around the city blowing this thing, and they take a trip around. and go home. They go home. They come out, they do the 6 days. They walk around there. You talk, that scared them bed inside, didn't it? They walk around and blow in the horn. You walk around. But I want you to see, look at verse 10. Now Joshua had commanded the people, saying, you shall not shout or make a noise with your voice, nor shall a word proceed out of your mouth until the day I say to shout, then you shall shout. The Lord brought that scripture to me and said this to me. He said, tell the people they need to keep their mouth shut. If you can't say the right thing, keep your mouth shut. We need to understand this. See, we've gotten away from the power of this. You know, even from the standpoint, I just want to say this. There's a time to make a statement of faith, and there's a time to be quiet till you're ready to make a statement of faith. Too many Christians have destroyed their faith by making confessions they can't believe. And we've done, well, just keep confessing till you believe it. I've watched people keep confessing till it just became nothing to them. We're talking about dealing with the heart. See, we're dealing with our spirit, saying words. God says to them, you go around there and everybody keep your mouth shut. Now, you understand? See, this requires faith. Because you know what? Every day for 6 days, you get to see every square inch of that wall. See, God did that intentionally. God did that intentionally. See, if you're going to, you know, it's like in the military. When I went to military training, they didn't turn around and let us sleep in till noon and pat us and take care of us and feed us real good and stuff. They tried to make it just like as much battle in living as you could. Make your life hard, not cute. We don't have soldiers today. Everybody wants to be a cute Christian. We need soldiers. We need people that can walk past what's hard and what's a problem without being moved. You've got to be able to look at what's hard. You need to be able to look at what the enemy's doing and say, oh my God, look what they got. Oh my word. He said, no, you guys shut. You don't walk around and talk about that wall. You keep your mouth shut. You can't say anything. Don't just shut up. Walk around the wall. See, we do this all the time. We do this. Understand, your life, there's things in life that are behind a wall to you. You know they belong to you, but you can't get it. And you want it. What's behind that wall? You want what's behind that wall. You need to be careful. You need to speak what's right concerning that wall. There's a time that it will come for you to speak to that wall, and you prepare yourself. This is what we grow. We stay in the Word and we grow up. So when things come along, we're ready to speak to those walls. So we're ready. We're not out there walking around. Too many people are telling us. That's why, you know, I'm big on the fact we watch and listen to so much stuff today and online and on Facebook. We need to knock this junk off. It's killing our faith. Other Christians are killing our faith. Talking their junk. Talking other stuff. Talking things that drain the life out of us. Talking about every wall they see and telling every stone in that thing. Until you're done, you're as scared as they are. And you're saying things and you're making voice to things when your mouth should be closed. You know, we had years ago the confession police. And I want them to come back. The confession police were this. You make wrong confessions and boy, somebody would be on your case and tell you about it. You shouldn't be saying that. Now there's people got radical over in that, but we need some radical today. Christians are running their mouth too much, saying too many things they shouldn't be saying, talking against what they say they're praying. And they're saying all kinds of things. Doing all kinds of stuff. See, we need to come back. God said, keep your mouth shut. And when you're gonna open your mouth, you're gonna shout. Say, I walked around there 6 times and I don't feel like shouting. I saw that wall. See, you walked around your sickness 6 times and you've done said everything that sickness has and what it's done every trip around and confessed it and confessed it every trip around. You've said everything that thing's made out of, everything it's doing. You've done walked around it and you trucked around that thing and you wonder why you ain't got a shout. Well, you ain't going to have a shout. See, your mouth will talk, will kill your shout. Your mouth will kill your shout. Your mouth is going to lead you in the direction you're going to go. your mouth will. Jesus said you're going to have what you say. Now, I sort of consider Jesus being on authority on that level. I do. And if he said it, see, we've talked about problems, we've talked about things, we've talked about stuff. We got this so-called society today that is supposed to be, we're informational. No, we're not. We're the most devilish thing you've ever seen in your life, doing nothing but spewing garbage at a constant level. The church world spewing garbage at a constant level. Instead of the Word of God. Hallelujah. Talking about the greatness of God and the glory of God. See, God said, the Lord said this to me concerning about people keeping their mouth shut. He said, so clear to me yesterday. I'm sitting on my cell phone and just as clear, he said, you need to tell people keep their mouth shut. We've said too much. We've said too much about these things. Instead of talking about the glory of God and what God said he would do, we've had too much and too much said. There's much that it's discouraged our own. He ain't saying this because he's mad. It's discouraging our own faith. One side we're saying we want God to move, and the other side we're saying things that stop him from moving. See, you can't have that. Salt water and fresh water don't mix. James wrote about that. They don't mix. You see, it's there in the Bible, but see, we're trying to do that. We have a mixture of things. And basically, we've ended up almost like the children of Israel came out of Egypt, that first generation. They can't get into the land. What makes me mad is we used to be people that were in the land. And much of the same people that came in the land can't even get there anymore. They went across the Jordan on the other side. They're all living over there somewhere. We've lost it. And I'm not saying this to criticize, but if we don't know where we're at, we can't go to where we want to go. If we think living on the other side of the Jordan is a good place, well, go ahead, stay there. But God called us across. Don't say anything. God has given us things in His Word to say. Those are the things we should be saying, and we ought to be saying them with a shout. By His stripes I am healed. Hallelujah.
By His stripes I'm healed. I just believe that's so. Yeah, Jesus said that. Oh my. Yeah, I believe it's true.
The wall ain't coming down. The wall won't come down. See, there were soldiers. You know, when that there thing was talking about the people going around, it wasn't all the children of Israel, all the women and children and all that. It was the army. That's who he's talking to. The army was the one walking around there. The army is going to go in and kill all the people. The women and children didn't run in and kill everybody. It's the army. You know what? We don't have soldiers. People don't realize that they have turned around and left God's military. You know, they didn't. Too many Christians never re-enlisted. They enlisted for a few years, and when things got pretty good, I don't need all this stuff anymore because now things are pretty good. And then when things go sour, they call people who know something about God, like, fix my problem for me, wave them on for me, and fix my junk. Say, I'm living over here on the other side of Jordan. I left. I got a nice thing over here, you know. I'm living over here, and me and the Hittites are doing great together, you know. We're doing real nice. I got a Hittite helmet I wear. It's really good. That's a very protective. Good preaching, folks. It's good preaching. That's what we have today. We're having a living out here. People doing this. They've left the life of the Spirit. They quit being soldiers. The whole point of this thing is being soldiers. Soldiers. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to tearing down strongholds. See, the weapons are taking every thought into captivity, not saying what I think. That's what they're taking every thought into captivity. Don't speak those thoughts. Don't speak those things that speak against God, what God has said about you. Don't speak against it. Don't speak against those promises that He said belong to you. Don't speak against them. See, Christians get into a weakened condition and they start talking their weakened condition. They start talking from the place of their weakness. They don't go to the place of strength. They don't go over to that and say, you know what, I might feel weak, but the Bible says, when I'm weak, I'm supposed to say I'm strong. Very seldom do I ever hear, I get calls from Christians. The Christians will call me about something, got a problem, and they tell me all their weaknesses. They never say, you know, I've been having a weakness problem, I'm strong. No. I gotta try to talk them in to get, confess the right thing, and usually you have to talk to them at least 47 times to get them to do it. If you can. No, they'll just keep talking their weakness. Well, I got this problem. Well, say, sure you got this problem. You said you did. So you have it. You declared it was yours. Now you got it. And it ain't leaving you till you shut up. You declared it was yours. You know, Calvin said, you know, the one hospice woman told him, said, she made a statement to him about your cancer. He said, this ain't my cancer. This ain't my cancer. See, you kind of people say, well, I have this sickness. Why ask me to pray for you if you just declared you have it? You just said I took it. You didn't stop and say, hey, hold it. Jesus took this. I ain't taking it. No, I got it. I got it. It belongs to me. It's a mine. Pray for me and we'll get it off. I can't pray to get it off of you till you change. God can't even get it off of you till you change. I have this. I have that. Boy, I got this trouble. I got that. People go around doing that. I got this. Well, you got it. You said. You can have one. See, what it would be good if we hadn't said? No. But my mouth set me on a course. And we don't realize that today. The mouth. Don't matter what you believe, your mouth sets your course. Your mouth sets your course. We got to get over to that and come back to that simplicity of our mouth sets our course. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, the scripture, you know, the good work he started in me, he's going to bring it to completion. I have no clue how he'll do it. I can't think beyond. God has to deal with me. I don't know about you guys. You might be worse off than I am. I don't know. But as you know, it's the whole thing was, I know that if it isn't his work and his power, if he isn't working in me, there's not a chance it's going to work for me. But I have total faith that he's miraculous and he's going to work in me. And bring me to completion. He said he would. The good work he'd started me. to me, I think that's a big job. But to him, it ain't no big deal. See, to me, it's a big job. See, that's why I don't go over in that area and play the games over in that area talking stupid stuff. Because I don't want to talk as far as I can see because I can't see, I can't say as far as he can go. Hallelujah. So I just need to believe, yep, it's a working. Glory to God. He's a doing it. Woo-hoo-hoo! Glory to God. Hallelujah. Do you know how he's doing it? I ain't got a clue. But I know he has to do things supernatural, and he'll do it for anybody. All things are possible to him that believeth. But nothing's possible to the guy that don't. See, we don't believe. See, you get over in that areas of faith. But see, you got to get your confession over there. Be careful what you're saying. We've said we bought too many things to pass. We bought too many things. So like I got a political scene today. There's too much being said. I ain't confessing what either sides are saying about stuff. They're both in left field. They're saying things. And all they're doing is talking about what's bad. Criticizing the other guy for bad and just back and forth. That doesn't solve the problem. You know, I get a call from a representative and he's having a town hall thing you can, I guess, listen to, you could go on a, you listen, they either call you, they want you to come and listen. Telling these guys, you know, about what's troubling us. If that knucklehead doesn't understand what's troubling us, we ought to send him on the first trip to Mars. I mean, why do we have to sit down and discuss it again? Ain't you figured it out, you moron? We voted for you because of what you said you were going to do. If I have to keep going to meetings and telling you, I don't need you at all. Dear God. You know, I'm 100 times smarter than these guys, and that's terrible. My God, if I'm 100 times, we're in big trouble. Because 100 times smarter ain't bright today. You might be able to chew gum and walk at the same time. Because most of them can't even do that. Tell me, let's go over What's a matter? That, no, we're not going to talk answers. We're going to talk what's the matter. Dear God, the devil's running the place and you ain't got a clue and you call yourself a Christian. That's what's wrong. Amen. There's no life in the church. The church is full of death. And it ain't the devil's fault. It's the Christian's fault. We let it in. We talked it into the church. We got together and had our committees and got together and talked. The committees got together. And we got to hash out the problems. We did what the psychiatrist did. You know, if you got a problem in your life, you get 50 more people have the same problem. You get them all in a room talking about it. Oh, you talk about glorious. I got to pour my... I feel so much better. I got to say what was on my mind. Yes. And now the devil is moved in and he's in your spare bedroom. And tomorrow he's going to be in the living room. This is what's going on out here. It's insanity out here and that stuff. But you know, I was so glad. I thought, God, yesterday, yesterday, I thought, God, I just needed to hear. Man, let's get back to the simple. Let's get back to where we were. They used to tell us, watch your mouth. Watch your mouth. Charles Capps, watch your mouth. They would tell you things. You'd go to meetings. They'd talk about what you shouldn't be saying. You shouldn't be doing this. And they would talk about those things. But you know what? The power of God would move. We think that God moves because we tell Him our problems. God don't move. My God. He don't have to waste His time listening to your problem. He got 40 billion people more He could tell Him His problems. If problems move God, we'd have the biggest move of God you ever seen in your life. It's faith moves God. Say, God, I got these problems, but I saw your answer. Woo! Glory! And your answer's true. I'm sitting here right now and it looks like the rock has fallen on top of me, but it doesn't matter. Your word is true. I'm delivered in the name of Jesus. I'm not losing this war. I'm winning it. Hallelujah. The king, devil, and his cohorts are under my feet. They've been given into my hand. Hallelujah. Now, well, the devil's running everything. He's just doing all this stuff. Yeah, well, yeah, keep confessing him. He'll do good. Hallelujah. Controlling what we say. Proverbs 16 and verse 20 and 21 says, a man's stomach shall be satisfied from the fruit of his mouth. From the produce of his lips, he shall be filled. Then listen to this. Then here's the point. Listen to what he says. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Eat which one? Death or life. Whichever one you love, whichever one you're speaking, that's what you're going to eat. There's loads of people, loads of spirit-filled Christians love death. They talk it all the time. Talking death stuff. Talking death stuff all the time. We're told here. This is Proverbs. This is a book of wisdom. This was given to the people. This was told to the people that weren't born again. If this stuff works for the for people that were under the old covenant, how should it work for you and me? We're on the side of the Spirit, man. I'm going to tell you, we're on the best side there is. We're on the best side. We got the Holy Ghost in us. We're born again children of God. They weren't. They were just servants of God. We're born again children of God. We have the anointing of God baptized in the Holy Ghost. What must be the power of our mouth if we get our mouth in the right place and start to speak it? Proverbs 12, verse 13 and 14. The wicked is ensnared by the transgression of his lips, but the righteous will come through trouble. See, the righteous ain't supposed to be talking like the wicked. Now, a man will be satisfied with the good by the fruit of his mouth, and the recompense of a man's hands will be rendered to him. In other words, what the guy does, he will get paid. In other words, recompense is, you know, you're paid for what you did. You get what you did. In other words, we turn around and have the right saying and the right talk. Right there, you got it. Talking and doing. Talking and doing. See, the doer of the word is the one that's blessed. Hallelujah. Jesus said this. in Matthew, the 12th chapter, verse 36 and verse 37. But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. You know what idle words are? Words that don't have power. In other words, you're not using God's word. Idle word. He said, we're going to stand in judgment for all the junk we talk. Oh, Lord. I think it'd be good to repent, or I might have a long time just have to stand there and listen to him all the things he's going to have to say about what I said. all the dumb things. Now he said, for by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Hey, words either put us over or put us under, one of the two. The words will put us over. Jesus said so. See, Jesus said it, that's it. I don't need somebody else to come and tell me what he thinks something. Jesus done spoke. Pretty clear. Jesus spoke. Hallelujah. And he didn't speak as a contemptuous. Jesus is a life speaker. There's another thing, see, that we need to break. And the Lord said this. We need to bring the shout back to the church. He said, Christians have no shout today. There's no shout in the church today. That doesn't mean every Christian. There's Christians who still shout. There's no shout in the church. We shout about everything that's wrong. We know how to get loud and boisterous about it. But when it comes to things of God, we're quiet. We don't shout anymore. We lose it. I want to read from Isaiah 61. I want to read something here because I'm going to read three verses. We take these verses that Jesus used, and the scripture is correct. These words were speaking of Jesus, but we need to understand we're the church of Jesus Christ now. In other words, these things speak of the church today. In Jesus' time, it said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prisons to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn. Now, let's just stop there at that. In other words, see, Jesus came and said, that's what God called me to do. Do we have a different calling? We have an anointing from the Holy One, the Bible says. See, we have the same calling. We're called under the same thing. Jesus, we have the Messianic anointing. That's what we got. Jesus was the Messiah. He's our deliverer. And what he got, I got the same inheritance he had. See, this is what we're called to. This is the church. This is the church. This is every believer. Every believer. Now, I want to listen to this. Now, he said, to comfort all who mourn. He said, to counsel those who mourn in Zion. Now, Zion, in Hebrews, tells us Zion. Zion's the city of God. That's the city of God in heaven. And it tells us that's our city. See, the Jews had a city. It was Jerusalem. But the church has Zion, the city of God, the one in heaven. That's our city. The believer's city is heaven. That's what Zion is. See, he said, to counsel those who mourn in Zion. Well, what does he want to say to them? To give them beauty for ashes. He said, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness. See, we're the righteousness of God. See, the church got to quit mourning. The church has been nothing but a bunch of mourners. He said, why? That they may be called trees of righteousness. The planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. See, we're trees of righteousness. The Bible talked about it being oaks. Oaks. Oaks are a hard wood. Oak trees, you just don't knock oak trees over. See, that's what we're supposed to. This is what the anointing, this is what God did through Jesus, and this is the church now. What? The church, what? The church sitting around in the morning says, giving them beauty for ashes. We got beauty for ashes. Now the church is running around today like they're in ashes. He says, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. I'm just going to tell you, this is specifically what the Lord wanted to say something about this, because he says, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. There's a heaviness that's laying on the church world today, a heaviness. And you ain't getting it off till you get the right garment on, and God ain't putting it on you. He gave you the garment. You just keep going to the garment of the flesh, going into the garment of the flesh and putting on whatever the flesh has. You need to go to your spiritual closet and get out the garment of praise. You need to put it on. You don't wait till you feel good or things are nice, and if everything's good, I'll get a shout and I'll praise God. That ain't how it works. Anybody can do that with no faith at all. Anybody can shout when everything looks nice. We have the garment of praise. And the days, I'll tell you, when you think things look like ashes, say, man, I ain't in ashes. No, no, no. Man, I got oil. Glory to God. I'm not in ashes. See, those are the things you talk when trouble's coming. You don't, there's no faith talk talking about the problem. That's not faith talk. It's when everything's going. I'll tell you what, when you're feeling lousy and feeling bad, and you start praising God that He healed you in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord God, for healing me. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, pretty Jesus, I do. That's the church today. They're doing this kind of stuff. It's the Christians. Well, let's call somebody to pray for him. Why? Because God can't hear me. I can only, somebody else will have to get it for me because I can't get it. Because you know what? The Spirit of the Lord ain't on me. Hallelujah. We've been given these things. See, we need to come back to these things again and grab a hold of these things again. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. See, you got to put on the garments. He's not going to. He ain't gonna, God don't ever put the garment on you. You know, you got up this morning, somebody dress you to go to come to church? Somebody dress you? All right, well, why? See, we're sitting around waiting for God to dress it. God ain't going to dress you. God gave you the garment. You choose whether you have faith or not. You choose whether you're going to praise God or whine. See, this is one thing the Lord told me about. He said, church is full of whiners today. They aren't full of praisers. It's full of whiners. People whining about their problems. People whining about this, whining about that. They don't ever get, they put on the whining of the flesh. See, the flesh is a whiner. The flesh is a whiner. And I have a flesh closet, and there's lots of those coats in there. There's lots of garments in there like that. Loads of them. And that's where most people dress. That's where most Christians dress, in that place. Then there's this over here in the spirit. There's this garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. You know the one that don't even have a wrinkle in it? It ain't ever been taken out of the closet. It was pressed and put in there just as pretty as it was then. In that garment bag, you know. It's never been unzipped. It's still in the bag. We're saving that for a special occasion. When God moves, I'll get it out. That man's insane, isn't he? I'll tell you what. It's a good analogy though, but it is. It's just people are waiting for something. No, it's in the time of trouble. You go into war putting on that nice clean garment. That's what it's for. It's for the fight. It's we don't want to get it dirty. You see, my mama used to have all this special stuff you never used till special occasions that never came. And they sit in the cupboard. And we were just so glad to throw them away. We could take care of everything. They were so special. You can't use it because they're special occasions. And the church has that. They have these things that are held for special. No, I'm going to start. You get the good stuff out for the fight. The weapons of our warfare are mighty. Everything God didn't give you a bunch of good stuff. Your righteousness is for the fight. Your righteousness is not something you sit in a chair and say, I'm the righteousness of God. You need to know your righteousness of God when you're being shot at. You need to know that whenever it's going on, when hell is bound against you, that's when you need to know you're righteous. Sitting on the chair, who cares when nothing's happening? It's when the war's on and you can say, I can stand in front of God and I can claim anything that belongs to me and He'll back me. That's what righteousness is for. It's for the war. It's for battles. We have the sword of the Spirit. The sword is not a defensive weapon, it's an offensive weapon. The word, speaking the words of faith. You gotta get in the offensive with the devil. If you don't, he'll run you down. You talk sweet to him and you'll have footprints all over you of all the problems that you'll have. We've been given the word of God and we need to become aggressive with these things concerning the word and being bold about saying it. This is what God said. Doesn't matter what I feel about it. Doesn't matter. God said it. God's true. God's always right. You know, I do that all the time. When I praise and worship God in my own self, I always have God, you know, you're right about everything. Everything you say is true and right. It doesn't matter what I say. If it isn't in line with you, Lord, it don't amount to spit. It's nothing. You're God. I'm not. I can count on you every time. Lord, I may not be able to count on me, but I know I can count on you. Hallelujah. I know you. I know what you're like. The word says what you're like. You're perfect. Hallelujah. And you'll always do what's right. And if you said it, don't matter what my thought is on the subject. Don't matter. Doesn't matter what Ed thinks. My faith isn't can't be built on what I think. See, I've had people come and ask me, what do you think about this scripture? What do I care what I think about the scriptures? What God said, that's what matters. Quit thinking about it, just believe what it says. Well, I don't understand it. Well, you're never going to get understanding until you accept it by faith. Say, it must be true. First of all, it's true. If you haven't accepted it as true to you, understand it, forget it, go home. It don't matter, you ain't going to ever learn nothing anyhow. No, we settle the fact that that book is true, and what God said is true, and it's right. Whether I understand it or not, it is true. He can reveal it to me, but it's true. And when He reveals it to me, it might skin my knees. But it's the truth. And it don't skin my knees to hurt me. I skin my knees because I wasn't walking right. But He'll get me up so I walk right, and I can live in that thing. I can live in the light of it and walk and live in the glory of it. And that's what we need to come to today. We need to come to that place where we're going to walk in the light as He's in the light, having fellowship with one another. Let me read you some other scriptures here in Psalms 32 and verse 10. Says, many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he who trusts in the Lord, mercy shall surround him. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart. What are we supposed to be doing? Shouting. Hallelujah. Why? I'm surrounded with mercy. Glory to God. If I can't get you going and can't get your blood moving, forget it. We'll just have a funeral and just throw some dirt on you. You know? Hallelujah. I'm surrounded with the mercy of God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm surrounded. See, I can walk around that wall, but I'm surrounded. And the devil needs to know that. You've got a wall, and I got God's wall. Which one's going to work? I'm surrounded by the mercy of God. And I'm going to shout it. That wall's going to go. Hallelujah. The righteous have a shout. Let's bring back the shout. Bring back the shout again. Hallelujah. Psalms 35:27. Let them shout for joy and be glad who favor my righteous cause, and let them say continually, oh, I have a lot of problems. Oh, help me. I don't know what's going on. And pray for me. Now we say, and let the Lord be magnified. First on your lips, let the Lord be magnified, who has pleasure in the prosperity of His servants. And it just isn't, well, what do you need to prosper in? What is that wall? What's that holding back? Hallelujah. What is it you need so you can achieve or attain? Hallelujah. That gives you the victory in life. The Lord be magnified. Not the wall be magnified. The wall be big. Hallelujah. The Lord be magnified. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He has pleasure in me overcoming. He has pleasure in me going, getting the fullness of whatever He's promised. He finds pleasure in it. See, what God's happy about? He ain't happy about your problem. These people say, oh, you know, God put you through this or this, that, because He's trying to beat you up to teach you something. No, He takes pleasure in blessing you. That's what He takes pleasure in. He takes pleasure in you overcoming. That's what He takes pleasure in. Hallelujah. I remember Randy Greer talking about, he said he used to get thinking that, you know, when Jesus was led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness, I used to think about, you know, God sent Jesus out there to set the devil on him. And he said, the Lord told him one day, I didn't send him out there, the devil on him. I said, I sent him out there to set him on the devil. See, you've been filled with the Holy Ghost to sick. You're supposed to be getting sick. God's trying to sick you on the devil. That's what He's trying to do. Not for you to run and hide somewhere. Not for you to try to get out of the way of things. Why? Because you go overcome. The Bible says no. There's no temptation that you face it. He hasn't provided a way out. What should we be worried about? What's coming? Is that true? Or maybe that one. Maybe that was a mistake. Maybe that got in there by mistake. But see, no temptation. See, there's time to things coming along a lot. He said He's provided a way out for all of it. He's already got a way out for you. Hallelujah. Why? Baptized in the Holy Ghost. You know, the Apostle Paul got over it. He messed up, and the Lord had to tell him, my grace is sufficient. Paul forgot that. Do you ever notice right? Like Paul was the Mr. Perfect. He wasn't. Paul should have went over and read what Peter and James had to say about the devil. Resist the devil, he'll flee from you. He goes, God, you ought to do something about the devil in my life. And God had to say, hold it, my grace is sufficient. Where have you been, Paul? Where have you been at? You have authority over the devil. Don't ask me to throw him out. See, Paul had trouble just like you and I did. Some days we're knuckleheads. Paul was a knucklehead that day. He got over. He had things happen to him, but he forgot. He's like us. Sometimes we forget. But see, when we put, instead of putting God on the pedestal, we put men on the pedestal and we start worshiping the man. Now I'm going to tell you, worship God. Hallelujah. He's given you authority over the devil. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You have the victory in Jesus' name. Psalm 66 and verse 1 starts at 1. It says, make a joyful shout to God, all the earth. Sing out the honor of His name. Make His praises glorious. Say to God, how awesome are Your works! Through the greatness of Your power, Your enemies shall submit themselves to You. Hallelujah. Now that was the Old Testament. Now the New Testament verses. Your enemies will submit to You. God's anointed you, and your enemies will submit. Satan has to submit to you, your authority in the name of Jesus. He has to submit to you. You cast out devils in my name. You show up in Jesus' name, and he is scared of that name. He knows that name. See, you want to walk in faith of that name. We don't have to be afraid of what the devil's doing. Hallelujah. See, if we get back to this place again, the church will go to prayer and pray for this nation and turn some things. We haven't turned things because we prayed from the weak side. We prayed from the defeated side. We're trying to gain ground. I'm not trying to gain ground. I own the ground. Jesus gave it to me. Hallelujah. Do you think Jesus said, well, you can't have Biden. You know, you can't defeat him. No, you can't. No, the kings and his tough guys. No, I'm not that big. I can't deal with them. Hallelujah. See, we need to get the shout back. Let me say this about the shout. See, one of the things is most things is so demoralizing in military combat. One of the things that used to really scare the American soldiers in the Philippines was the Japanese. They would attack and just scream and run at you. And you know what? Scare people to death. See, they'd shout. It scares people. See, there's a physical thing goes with that. You'll see, there's physical stuff. But I'll tell you what, see, there's a spiritual precedence. See, you gotta have a shout. If the other guy only got a shout and you ain't got one, you're in trouble in battle. If the devil owns the shout, you gotta own the shout. You gotta come to the place that you're up straight and you'll tell him. You gotta come to that place. See, too many people are moved by fear. I'm gonna tell you what. We gotta lose our fear in battle. God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. You go into war, you gotta have a sound mind. You can't be a flake. Can't be a flake. Flakes never win wars. Flakes never win war. Christians never win wars who stay over on the side of fear because it keeps you flaky. It'll keep you flaky. You can't live in that place. People are afraid of what's going to happen this day and this time. I'll tell you what's going to happen. Ed's going to be blessed. Amen. I'll tell you what's going to happen. Jesus is still going to be King of Kings and Lords of Lords. Hallelujah. And I can still count on Him no matter what happens to me or what goes on. Hallelujah. He will change not. That's what's going to happen. I done read the book. You know what? I don't look like in the natural. That's happened. I don't care what it looks like. I'm going to say what the book says. Because your joy is counting on what you say. You, if you're not happy, you did it. Now you might not like to hear that. So and so said, I don't care. You just repeated them to yourself, demoralizing yourself. That's your problem. That's not theirs. What they say, what you want about me, they can say, but I'm going to say what God said. Hallelujah. They're not going to demoralize me. They're not going to demoralize. We choose to do this. No matter what they say, no matter what they think about us, no matter what they do, it matters not. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Our enemy will submit to us. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Psalms 95:1 says, oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to Him with psalms. I always think about this. You know, when the children of Israel come back into the land after being in captivity and held in Babylon, And they came back finally after 70 years and they laid the foundation of the temple. And it talks about, see, there was people there that knew the old temple and its glory, and they were crying and whining some, you know, about the new temple just wasn't as nice. But the ones who came back to the land who didn't know the old one, they were just so excited about it. And they got shouting so loud, it says they heard them afar off. Today, you'd never hear the church afar off. You would hear them by the door. And then they did this. Then they built the wall around the city. And they got the same shout going. When the wall was completed, they marched around. They took two companies and they put them on top of singers and they sang and praised God and got to the other side. God shouted. It said, and they heard them afar off. And when it talks about hearing far off, these were the enemies who lived out from them, heard them, and it really troubled them because these people are doing good. It scared them. See, the shout scared them. See, we need to get the shout back. We need to bring the shout back. Hallelujah. Our God's big. Glory to God. We need to sing and shout to the rock of our salvation. Hallelujah. Oh, they don't. If there's anything today, they're trying to do what they can. And even so-called ministries today in these companies go around to help people grow their church. Don't use the name of Jesus so much. Don't talk about the rock. Oh, no. No, because there's people get offended by that. If you want to reach them, you got to quit talking that stuff. I'm going to tell you, I don't know how else, what would you reach them to? Other than to come into your church and you get a check out of them. That's what they want. The love of money has become the root of all evil in the church. The church today is full of evil over money. Many don't even care about the souls of men anymore. It's about crowds. They don't care if these people are ready to meet Jesus. Jesus don't mean that much. I don't know where I'd be without Jesus. I'd probably be in hell today if it wouldn't have been for Jesus. My road was definitely the road to destruction. I owe him my life. And they say, don't use his name? That's like telling me, don't ever use your daddy's name. You know, like I'm going to listen to you on that one. We got preachers listening to this stuff. We got spirit-filled preachers who have lived to that, listen to this stuff. You go out here to spirit-filled churches and are using... They're using rock music and that stuff when you come into church to bring people in and that stuff. Using rock, using stuff from the back in the 70s and 80s stuff to get people in, you know, making people feel comfortable. Does hell make you feel comfortable? I mean, when that person's in hell and they're in the flames, the Bible talks about, and the place where the worm dieth not, you think there's going to be comfort? See, Jesus talked about what the guy happened to him after the rich man who ended up in hell. Did he sound like he was in comfort? Well, I'm going to tell you what. We got lying churches today that are sending people to hell, claiming to be spirit-filled churches, sending people off to hell playing these games. Why? Because the shout left the church. They have said too many things they haven't kept silent. And they've said, and you know what? They get away from the Word of God. All these other words, all of man's words became important. See, we have got to uphold God's Word. I tell you, God is your salvation. I don't care what you're going through. He's big enough to take care of you. He's big enough to see you. And that's why we magnify the Lord. See, what we do in praising and worship magnifies God. Makes Him big. You get your voice saying those things. If you can't get your voice praising God and doing that for any period of time and you can't do it, something's wrong with your salvation. You need a new dip. Because we need to be able, we make God big in our own eyes. God is only as big as you'll make Him. Somebody else, I can sit here and I can get you fired up today, but if you go home and don't do a thing about it, it don't matter what I say. It doesn't matter. I'm going to have to do it myself. See, I can't. I got to do it myself. I got to make Him big. And I have to. He ain't big enough yet. Hallelujah. I got to be able to look at everything and whatever goes on and say, nah, He's big enough. He's big enough. No matter what it is. Or I'm not sitting down trying to, well, what about this? No, He's big enough. He's big enough. Magnify Him till He's so big. See, my God. He's taking care of me. He's all right. He's all right. Glory to God. I'm good. Hallelujah. Now I believe for somebody else to get some. See, we've turned into this, a get by Christianity. Just getting by. I'll tell you, let's go back to the place of victory. Hey, let's become that childlike again. When I came into the kingdom, we were just childlike. Man, we were so awed by Jesus. I was so awed by salvation. I was so awed by Him. I was so awed by the changed life that I got. And you know, I see it sometimes over the years. I looked, I think, you know, I was taking some things just downright for granted that I didn't take for granted before, but I took for granted. I say, man, this is God working in me. God's working, doing things. I'm not appreciating it like I should. I'm not treating it at its great value that it is. And you know what it does? It doesn't weaken God. He's the same. But it weakens me. It's when I uphold Him to where He is. When it becomes, everything He's done for me becomes a big deal. See, the little things. Those faithful and little ruler over much. See, I think people think all about works. I think that's sometimes just in these areas of the faithfulness we have toward Him in the areas of appreciation of the little things that He does for us. Just His little kindness and mercies here and there every day. You know, I wake up in the morning and I'm feeling good. I ought to be getting a little bit excited. You know, we want Him when we wake up bad. When we wake up feeling good, it's like, all right, let's get to work. Go just do that. And we don't stop. But I've learned now, you know, I don't jump right out of bed in the morning. I wake up, I spend time with God. One thing is I do, I spend time worshiping and praising. I do. I just thank Him every day. Oh my God, You're wonderful. Hallelujah. I just appreciate You. You're just great. Just lay there in bed before you start. Take those time and just say some things to Him. Shh, man, let Him know of your appreciation of Him. Too much of the church world, and really, in many ways, our God's no more than like a Santa Claus. It's when they have a problem, they need something, they want a certain present, they want this, then it comes to God. We got to go to the thing that's the last. The first is always over here, appraising and worshiping Him and glorifying Him and thanking Him. See, when the children of Israel lost what He did for them coming out of Egypt, they couldn't go in the land. I don't care how much anointing people think you get. You ain't going into that land on man's praise. On man's glory. It takes God's glory to carry out His will and His plan. Amen? Hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet. Lord God, I thank You for the word today. Lord, I needed it. I needed it as much as anybody needed it here. Hallelujah. Lord God, to remind me where I came from. Thank You for reminding me the footsteps of my past, Lord God. And Lord God reminded me, and I could see, Lord God, where I was, where I had a heavy tread mark, where I walked in boldness. I can see it got a little light in some places. But Lord God, I see today, hallelujah, walking back in those places again of boldness in the name of Jesus. Standing back again, Lord God, on the wonderful things that people before us came along and taught us. I thank You, Lord. Some of those people, and there's numbers of them who have left, are not on this earth today. But Lord God, we had the great honor of sitting under their feet and listening to the revelations that You gave them. Lord God, that changed our lives. And I just want to let You know how much I appreciate that. Lord, I am so thankful, Lord God, that You had faithful followers who just didn't live their lives for themselves, but they sought You and then shared it with others. And I want to thank You. I became the recipient of many wonderful things that were said. Hallelujah. And ministered, Lord God, to minister life to me. And I thank You for that. Hallelujah. Father God, I just want to thank You today. Father, You're speaking to us. Lord God, not putting us down. Hallelujah. You're the one that wants us to walk in all the victory that You've given to us in Christ Jesus. Father, it belongs to us. We are those more than conquerors. Hallelujah. Father God, hallelujah. Lord God, we have victory at every hand in the name of Jesus Christ. Because Lord God, we can cast out devils. We can lay hands on the sick, they recover. Hallelujah. Father God, Lord Father, we can walk in this victory. It's been given to us, and I thank You for it. Hallelujah. Thank You so much for being so patient and kind with us. Thank You, Lord God, for continuing to encourage us, continuing to strengthen us, continuing to talk to us, Lord God. Hallelujah. I thank You, Father God. Father, Our heart is turned towards you because we long to hear your voice. We long, Lord God, to hear your wisdom spoke. We long, Lord God, to hear words of life from heaven. Hallelujah. Lord, truly, truly the scripture's right. There is many voices and there's none without significance. But Lord God, we have chose the voice of significance. We have chose the voice of God. That's the one that we desire to hear. That's the one we long for. Father, you gave us the wonderful Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, I can see. There's times I have grieved you. I can see that because of not walking in the light of what I should have walked in. But I want to thank you, Holy Spirit. I want to thank you for revealing those things. Hallelujah. Setting me back on the right path again. Hallelujah. Holy Spirit, if there's anything I don't want to grieve you, I want to allow you to carry out the ministry of Jesus in me. Hallelujah. I want you to be able to do all your will, Lord God. Hallelujah. So Jesus Christ is glorified and magnified. Hallelujah. And our enemies are under our feet. Glory to God in Jesus' name. So we thank you. Oh, Father, you are so good, and your mercy endures forever and ever and ever and ever. Hallelujah. Lord God, I thank you, Lord, that the wonderful things that you started in each one of your children here today, you're bringing it to completion. You're working in them, and you're doing a good work. Hallelujah. They're being stirred up, Lord God. They're being strengthened and built up. Hallelujah. Lord God, they're getting the nourishment of the Word, and it's making them strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord God, we're putting on your armor. Hallelujah. We're not going to wear the armor of the flesh. We're putting on your armor, Lord God. Hallelujah. We're putting your Word in our minds, in our hearts, Lord God. Hallelujah. In our hands, Father, in the name of Jesus. In our voice, Father God, speaking the Word, and the Word's protecting us in the name of Jesus. It's our shield. Hallelujah. Lord God, we're taken care of, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, your armor causes us to stand in Jesus' name. And the Word says when you've done all to stand, stand therefore. Hallelujah. And we're standing in the name of Jesus. And we thank you for it, Father, all that you've accomplished and done in us. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.